Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Is your mind really a time machine?
Can you change your past, erasing your past mistakes? Can you visit parallel future realities, drawing your goals to you like magic? At Harvard University, brain imaging techniques prove the human brain is a time machine. Astrophysicist Michio Kaku says thinking is really time traveling. A book called Mind, Time, and Power by Anthony Hamilton is loaded with amazing new insights and jam-packed with thought exercises to build your brain like an athlete builds his biceps. It's the new psychology for the 21st century. Get and read Mind, Time, and Power by Anthony Hamilton. Available on Amazon or at mindtimeandpower.com. Meet the Totally Ninja Raccoons. Three raccoons who become ninjas because they already have the masks. The Totally Ninja Raccoons books are short adventures with quick chapters, specially structured to encourage reluctant readers. Each book has the Totally Ninja Raccoons encountering a cryptid. The monsters are presented in a fun, not so scary way.
Hey! I said not so scary!
Readers are encouraged to do their own research and make up their own minds about the possible existence of Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, aliens, and more. The Totally Ninja Raccoons are available on Amazon or at your favorite bookstore. You can buy autographed copies direct from the author at kevincoolidge.org. That's kevincoolidge.org for the Totally Ninja Raccoons. Did you know Night Dreams Talk Radio now has a great store? And now's the time to get that Night Dreamer, that cool Night Dreams tea, or Bigfoot mug. Night Dream Store has lots of awesome items to pick from, all for the Night Dreamer. For details, check out our show's website at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com.
I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet, I ask you, is not an alien force already among us?
Night Dreams brings on the night worldwide. Did you know you can find us on your favorite app? And now you can watch us live on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to our channel and give us a thumbs up. And now, here's Gary.
And here I am. Well, today is Friday, the 4th of March. Oh, boy, my heart is still going out with what's going on with Ukraine. We actually lucked out, the world lucked out, because of the shelling and the fire of a nuclear reactor in the Ukraine. Now the Russians are going to the second reactor to try to capture it. You know, you think what happened in the Ukraine back in the 80s with that reactor meltdown. Could you imagine, James, if, you know, one of these things really had a major meltdown?
Well, exactly. There's still, that was what, 30 years ago, we're still finding out some of the things that it has caused or damaged or you know, made people sick or whatever. But boy, that could just be so horrible. You are so correct.
Oh yeah. So, you know, bless the people, you know, and boy, I tell you, this is a nightmare. Well, in the news, if you live in California right now to buy regular gasoline, if you're lucky and you want to pump it yourself, you can get a gallon for $5.94. Now, if you want premium, it's only $6.24 a gallon. And if you want them to pump it, then it goes up to $7.29 a gallon for premium and $6.99 a gallon if they pump it. Now, I'll tell you what, I don't know what you're paying, James, where you're at in Ohio, but I tell you, that is getting really crazy.
Well, it is the highest it's ever been here, and it is at $3.79. But what I can't put my brain around, why is it almost $3 more there is it a more premium gas, even though it's the same gas, or is, you know, they have to jump through a lot more hoops to get there? Doesn't make sense. Really,
actually, it should be cheaper on the West Coast, because a lot of the oil comes offloaded on the West Coast. A lot of oil coming from Mexico. So you would think it's cheaper. No, it's because the cost of living is adjusted. So if you live in an area where it costs you a lot more money to live, you're going to pay more for gas. You're going to pay more for your basic foods. Again, food stores are really getting empty. It's really scary. So far, there's no shortage on toilet paper. Ah, thank God on that. But I tell you what, the food prices are going way up. So, you know, be prepared next week when they start raising the interest rates. What they're going to do is, by raising the interest rates, it's going to supposedly keep people from spending so much money. And that will keep the prices from going up. But, you know, James, if you really look in history, when prices go up, regardless of what the feds do, it doesn't bring it back down. It might stabilize it. But just think about it. I mean, you know, when I first started driving a car, back about the same time they invented the wagon wheel, you could get gas for 21 cents to 24 cents a gallon. And when I was a kid, I remember my father, I'd ride with him all the time, we'd get gas. It was like 13 cents, and when they had a gas war, it was down to 11 cents a gallon. It, you know, and you could feed a family for 25, 30 bucks a week. I don't know about you, but the four of us here, we're spending probably $700 every 2 weeks for food. It is getting crazy. And if you want to buy, you know, a steak, oh, boy, you know, up here on the West Coast, it's expensive. So, I mean, unless you like pork or chicken, I mean, that's about the only thing you can find cheap. How is it starting to be in your area?
Oh, listen, you said it a few weeks ago, and it's here. The only thing is keeping the prices from the dairy and the meat from being too much high, and it is still highest it's ever been here, is because it's cattle country here and dairy country. But listen, it's still, the shelves are empty. There are a lot more empties. And then what you do find is a lot higher now. So we've got all this going on, and now they want to raise the rates, the interest rates, and other things that's going on. And then you've got people, you know, that's...
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
That's trying to pay rent and all these things. So people are stressed out there, Gary, let me tell you.
Oh, I know. It is crazy. I just got my power bill yesterday. Now, we are all electric in our house. Our house is a two-story house. It's 3,000 square feet upstairs, 3,000 downstairs. But my power bill was like $600 and some for 1 month. And, you know, we use the fireplace a lot. And if I wasn't using the fireplace, I'm willing to bet my power bill would have been $800 for a month. Crazy. I don't know how people at minimum wage can support themselves. You can't even here on the West Coast get a one-bedroom studio apartment for under $1,400 a month. And that is an area you don't want to live. Also in the news, the rover on Mars, you know, as we said yesterday, in the Mars Grand Canyon, 3 feet under the soil, they found water, abundance of water, flowing. Now, they actually found a tiny flower. And that is rather interesting, and that's in the news, and NASA has it up. And also, in Ireland, just yesterday, dozens of people saw a V-shaped UFO. It was really a bright one and huge.
Yeah, is that the one that kind of hovered for a while, and they witnessed it for a while, I believe, I think?
Oh, yeah, but just a couple days before that, there was another sighting in the UK of in a different location of UK of another, you know, UFO. So I wonder if, like I was mentioning before we went on the air, James, anytime we're in a conflict with wars and stuff, it seems to be more sightings of UFOs. Maybe they're watching us. Maybe they're bringing people like a tour. And they got all these people, right? And they're eating popcorn, or I should say ETs, watching it, just like we watch these sci-fi movies, but they're watching the real thing.
That could be. You know how you used to go on a little tour bus and you go through the zoo and you see the monkeys fighting and throwing things at each other. It's not very enticing. And then and fighting. Well, maybe they're doing the same scenario. They're looking out their little portals and like, look at those humans down there, you know, treating each other miserable and doing crazy stuff and doing bad things to the planet. Just amazing. I can see that scenario going on.
Yeah, they could be, but again, they're probably just sitting there drinking their soda, you know, with their straw in it, which nowadays, I don't know about your area, you can't get plastic straws anymore. When you go into a fast food and you order stuff, it's paper. Have you ever tried drinking soda with a paper straw? It doesn't taste the same.
Now, believe it or not, they still have plastic here all over the place. But listen, that reminds me of that one candy you used to get in a straw, and it kind of like... it soaks up the moisture and it just like it's awful.
I don't know. Well, I tell you what, you can't even get plastic utensils now in the state of Washington because they passed a law, unless you virtually beg the establishment, hey, I don't want to use my fingers, I didn't bring my utensils here with me, can I have some plastic forks? And it's going to cost you $1.50. Well, I won't say what I said.
Well, we're going to have to travel around with our own silverware eventually is what it sounds like. Or are they going to have paper, paper silverware, too, to go with the straws? That's ridiculous, Gary.
Nah, just cook your food and bring it with you. Anyway, we're going to be back with Stan Gordon. We're going to talk about UFOs, cryptics, all kinds of things. So stay tuned. We'll be right back right after this.
What can suddenly burn a person to a pile of powder, yet allow nearby combustibles, even clothing, to escape damage? Spontaneous human combustion can. An enigma so bizarre and frightening. Spontaneous human combustion remains hotly denied by mainstream fire science and modern medicine. In his groundbreaking book, Ablaze, The Mysterious Fires of Spontaneous Human Combustion, Larry E. Arnold explores the high strangeness of this fascinating mystery and challenges, with meticulous research, the popular consensus that spontaneous human combustion is crackpottery and myth to be debunked. Read Ablaze, The Mysterious Fires of Spontaneous Human Combustion by Larry E. Arnold. Available now on Amazon.
Hi, this is Val Von Torn of Metatron Power and Light. You're listening to Gary Anderson and Night Dreams Talk Radio.
Well, thank you, Val, from Metatron Power and Light. I love your music, and boy, that is a great intro. You know, that last commercial we played, James, kind of gives me shivers and goosebumps because now I'm paranoid to go watch TV in an easy chair. One more thing to worry about. Could I sit there because maybe I had been eating the wrong food or drinking the wrong whatever, and maybe I could burst in flames?
Next time, because sometimes you get hot flashes. Next time I get one of those, I'm going to be like, should I get in the tub just in case? You know, it makes you think.
Yeah, I don't know. That's one way. You know, I just, if I do kind of burn up like that, you know what? I don't want my legs, you know, with my feet in the shoe. I just hope everything goes. Anyway, what can you say about our guest here tonight?
Well, our guest tonight is Stan Gordon. Now, Stan is a trained electronics technician who specializes in radio communication. Stan has been boots on the ground investigating UFO sightings, Bigfoot encounters, and other mysterious events in Pennsylvania since 1959. Now, he was the primary investigator also on the 1965 Kegsburg UFO crash incident, and he has authored many great books.
Well, 73s to you, Stan. How are you doing, my friend? It's been a while since you've been on.
Hi, Gary. Yeah, we're doing okay. We're keep very busy here. We've had a lot of activity going on as recent as a few hours ago, and it's been very, very busy the last few years, last year, and then this really interesting surge of activity since October. So I'm sure we'll be talking about that tonight.
Well, what is going on? You said in the last couple hours, what happened?
Well, I had a report just a few hours ago. It was just getting dark. It was about dusk in this area. And it was I guess you could fall into the cryptid category, more of an out-of-place animal. But we've been getting these reports of a Black Panther sighting. And it's just new. I'm just getting more data on it. I'll just tell you that it happened in the area, one of the areas along the Chestnut Ridge, which I think we probably have talked about in past shows. The Chestnut Ridge is probably one of the most active areas, definitely in Pennsylvania, for almost annual UFO sightings, Bigfoot reports, cryptid encounters, other anomalies. It's been going on for years and years. It's very, very active. It's not one location. It covers almost a 100-mile-long area, but some of the more active areas are here in southwest PA, in Westmoreland, where I'm located, Fayette, and Indiana County. But Westmoreland, Fayette is very, very active. But this was a person who happened to be outside. It's a rural area where there's been a lot of reports from a lot of people of different phenomena over years and years. And he happened to see something in this big field along the tree line. He thought at first it was a deer because it was getting dark. And he grabs his binoculars and he sees this huge, solid black feeling that's, he said the body was easily about 3 to 3.5 feet long. The tail, the long, very thick, curved tail was almost as long as the body. Got a real good look at this thing. Tried to take some pictures, but unfortunately his camera wasn't able to focus that well on it. You can see something on it. But he went after this thing, but it ran much faster than he could into the woods, but he got a very good look at it. So that's the second Black Panther sighting now in the last several weeks and from another area. And it's just amazing what goes on, but the Black Panther phenomena is something I've been looking into for years and years, because here in Pennsylvania, and again, there have been reports of what we call Black Panthers across other parts of the country where these animals are not supposed to exist, because when we think of Black Panthers, we're generally referring to black leopards or black jaguars, not common in this part of the world. And I found some very interesting links between Black Panthers and the Bigfoot phenomena and some of the other anomalies we're dealing with. It's a very involved mystery, and the more I know about all these various phenomena we're dealing with, I think it's very, very complex, and it's just well beyond our understanding right now.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Stan. There is creatures out here. You know, they're constantly finding in the ocean, for example, things that never thought they could be, you know, in existence. And they're always turning up. And again, why can't Black Panthers exist, you know, and out in the woods somewhere?
Well, oh, I understand. Yeah, and again, they've been seeing these things for years and years in Pennsylvania, even though, I mean, mountain lions is one thing. We've always known that mountain lions were common in this part of the country. And they've been extirpated for years, but people are seeing them year after year. Well, the mountain lions is one thing. The Black Panther reports are much more interesting and much more unusual. And one of the things that I found years ago is that sometimes the phenomena we're dealing with seems to focus on certain geographical locations. Of course, we all heard of Skinwalker Ranch. I've been dealing with cases going back to the 70s in this area that were very similar. And these incidents are ongoing right now, actually, in some areas of Pennsylvania. And I know I've heard many other places from around the country over the years where the phenomena seems to target for whatever reason. Sometimes these places have a long history of UFO sightings, these small orbs, spheres of light close to the ground that I've been looking to since the 1960s. Paranormal phenomena, Bigfoot sightings, cryptids, and one thing I found long ago was that in some instances when you have an outbreak of, for example, of a Bigfoot in a particular area.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You also, at times, have an outbreak of, for example, Black Panthers in the same area. But I had one case years ago that made me realize that some of the Black Panther reports are much more unusual. And if you like, I'll be glad to tell you that story.
Well, please do.
Okay, so this, you'll be hearing me talk about Fayette County. It's an area, it's a county here in Southwest PA that just continually active with all kind of strange phenomena. And this was in February of 1983. This fellow was coming home from a friend's house. It was a very cold morning, around 1 o'clock in the morning. His car's overheating. So he pulls into the driveway and he goes into the garage to get a can of antifreeze. So he opens up the hood and he's pouring the antifreeze in and he hears this loud growl. So he turns around to look and hears this large black house cat about 20 feet away just staring at him and growling at him. Well, he didn't think too much of it. So he turned and went back to put some more antifreeze in the vehicle. And a few seconds later, he hears another growl. But this time the growl is much deeper and louder. And when he turns around to look, he's shocked, because that large house cat has now physically grown to about another foot in size. So he throws the antifreeze jug at the animal and he hits it, and it growls at him fiercely and like it was going to attack him. It took two or three steps backwards and growls again and starts walking up the road where it's illuminated. He runs into his garage, looks around, grabs his pistol, comes back out, and this thing is going up the road. He takes a shot at it. He's not sure if he hit it, but this thing has physically grown that it looked like a Black Panther like you would see in the zoo, with a long tail, completely black, with luminous glowing yellow eyes. It growled at him, and it physically vanished and disappeared right in front of him.
That is interesting. What would have you ever given it thought what could cause that? How could that happen?
Gary, I'm just telling you that the reports that I've been getting, and I've been touched for years and years with many other researchers around the country, and a lot of them are finding a lot of similarities to some of these type of cases. But it's not just what I told you about. A lot of this deals with the Bigfoot phenomenon I've been dealing with since I've been involved investigating Bigfoot sightings since 1960s in Pennsylvania. And, you know, going back a little bit in history, you know, in 1969, I set up a hotline for the public to report UFO sightings, and I was just overwhelmed with calls coming in, and people were calling in about not just UFOs, but anything unusual. So you had Bigfoot reports and haunted houses and all kind of things, and I didn't get involved in the paranormal aspect of it, the hauntings, too much. I had a lot of friends that have over the years, but I've dealt more with UFOs in the cryptid world, and I decided in 1970 that it was much more than I could handle with all the calls coming in, that I was going to try to set up a volunteer group to investigate. So in 1970, I founded the first of three volunteer research groups that would investigate these cases for many, many years. And now I've been working as an independent researcher for quite a long time. But for years I had these groups, and involved in the groups were many specialists. We had scientists, we had engineers, technicians, police officers, former military people, and I had it set up that we would respond to cases 24 hours a day. And by 1973, we had extended to cover the whole state of Pennsylvania, And we are getting a lot of reports in from the public, but we also, surprisingly, we're getting reports in, referrals from the news media, from law enforcement, and, I mean, we were out there day and night investigating reports. And then we had that massive UFO wave and Bigfoot wave in Pennsylvania in 1973, and with the Bigfoot reports, they continued to 1974. So first we had UFO sightings from day one, hundreds of UFO reports all year long. It was covered a lot in the local and statewide newspapers back in those days. And then in the summer of 73, we had this massive outbreak of Bigfoot sightings that went on for weeks and months. And many of those sightings were in daylight, some at very, very close range. Well, initially, I thought we were dealing with some type of unknown primate from the cases I had heard about over the years in Pennsylvania and elsewhere. But a lot of strange things began to come to our attention. One of the first things we noticed was that we would get out to some of these locations within minutes to hours after the incident occurred. So we're looking at different weather conditions, different ground conditions. There'd be a series of large footprints that had a very large stride between them that would go for this and then suddenly just abruptly stop and end where there should have been more tracks. And over that time period, even in the snow, and even recent years, the same thing is showing up more and more. So we couldn't understand how that could be possible. There was no way it could have been fabricated under the conditions we found it. The reports from the public at that time period, as they're coming in, even got stranger and stranger. You had some people would tell us they'd see this Bigfoot, even in daylight, a short distance away, and it would suddenly just vanish, disappear, and reappear somewhere else. And then we had that pattern form, where we'd have a UFO sighting in a particular area, when minutes and hours or days later, we'd have a Bigfoot sighting or vice versa. And then we had some of those very significant, well-documented incidents where we had a Bigfoot and UFO seen together at the same time and place. And since that time and over the years, we've had some just amazing incidents, which I can tell you about some of those, that suggest, and I'm reluctant as I am to say it, that we're dealing with something that has a physical and a non-physical component to it.
Well, Stan,
that these things appear and disappear, and for a lack of a better term, they could be interdimensional.
They could, and we need to take a break, and we'll talk about that after the break. We'll be back with Stan Gordon right after this, so stay tuned.
Take a journey of adventure and discovery for the enigmatic giants of the forests. Read On the Trail of Bigfoot by Mike Dupler. The author himself describes it this way.
Having found possible Sasquatch evidence, namely trees driven into the ground upside down, thought to be territory markers, led me to investigate this creature in my native Ohio. Several years and many forays into Bigfoot territory, I have found incredible evidence, which inspired my book, On the Trail of Bigfoot. Bigfoot is alive and has many fantastic abilities. The evidence is out there for all to see, but you need to know what to look for. My book will inspire those who have answered the call to seek this elusive creature, the Bigfoot. The truth is out there.
Read On the Trail of Bigfoot by Mike Dupler. Available now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and IndieBound.org. Are you into UFOs, the real stuff? Selected by Extraterrestrials Volume 3, My Spoken Words, William Mills Tompkins. Volume 3 covers his amazing story, what he saw in the Battle of L.A. William was a special assistant to Admiral Rico Botta to find out all about the Nazi connection to E.T.'s during World War II and connection to Antarctica. This is a must-read, selected by Extraterrestrials Volume 3. Available on Amazon in January, edited and compiled by Dr. Bob Wood.
Thank you.
Night Dreams Talk Radio brings you talk radio like you remember, with your host, Gary Anderson.
And that is me. Our guest tonight is Stan Gordon. You know, Stan, I just want to say we've had Christopher George on our show quite a few times through the past couple years. He is a retired, you know, U.S. Park Ranger, law enforcement type. And, you know, he's investigated Bigfoot things. It, I tell you, again, you mentioned, like, where even in the snow, the footprints would go, and then all of a sudden it would stop. And he's investigated one of those type of things, and he said there was no way that it could have backtracked. They did measurements, they did all this stuff, and so it's like maybe they go in a portal or something is going on.
Yeah, you know, it's just so amazing when you go out and see these type of things. And, you know, I had some very skeptical scientific people involved in my groups for years, and some of these fellows and women as well, spent years out in the field with me investigating cases, and over a period of time, as they're interviewing the witnesses, they're beginning to see the patterns, they're seeing the physical evidence, they see the animal response, which is very interesting. I said years ago, you can fool people, but you can't fool the animals. And one thing that was very significant, which still continues to be reported, that even the most vicious dogs, when they're close to these Bigfoot creatures, they're just like paralyzed. They will not bark. They cower. They shake. They don't respond normally. Sometimes they won't eat properly for 2 or 3 days later. That's something you cannot fabricate. And that's something I have seen. And, you know, Gary, in all the years I've been doing this, and many people will probably find this hard to believe, I have never personally seen a Bigfoot or UFO myself. I think I've been very close to Bigfoot. I believe I chased one during that wave in 73, during the dark on a farm where this thing kept coming back. I believe I chased one through the cornfield late that night when this thing had come back to the farm. Whatever it was moving faster than we were. I recorded the sounds it made, and whatever it was, we don't know, but it was pretty strange.
Well, you know what? You're actually lucky. I don't know if I would want you to encounter one. As you might remember, me and a friend who was a medical doctor, we up in the Canadian Rockies, we were, you know, checking out old ghost towns because I love photography, and that's why we went up there on a road trip to do is go get pictures of old, you know, cemeteries, ghost towns, you know, silver mines and all that type of stuff. And we went to an old Japanese internment camp from World War II, and we encountered a Bigfoot. And I'll tell you, I still, to this day, not as often as I used to, but I still have nightmares of our encounter. And whatever I ran across, it wasn't one of these lovable ones that give you orbs and communicate with you. It chased us. And I'll tell you what, it was a nightmare.
Well, you know, Gary, again, I've personally investigated hundreds of Bigfoot sightings here in Pennsylvania. And I've interviewed multitudes of witnesses, just like UFO witnesses that come from all walks of life, men, women, children. I've interviewed outdoorsmen and hunters and engineers and police officers and people who are very familiar with the woods. And I'll tell you, I've talked to so many people whose lives have been changed because most of these people never would have believed it until they saw it. And I've been in touch with some of these people probably from 20, 30, 40 years ago, and their lives have never been the same since that day. And it's just really something. But, you know, of all those cases I had, I mean, yes, I had cases where these things threw large rocks like small boulders or pretty good-sized tree branches towards people, but they all said if this thing wanted to hurt them, they could have done it. I don't recommend people shooting at these things, but over the years, especially during 73, a number of people did, and they used all type of weapons from sidearms to 30-06s, and nobody ever brought one down. And in that one spectacular case we could talk about, the creature disappeared in a flash of light when a woman shot at it only a few feet away with a shotgun. And that's not the only case, but other similar type of reports as well. And but once again, people shot at them. Sometimes they would fall down, and they'd get up, and most of the time they walked away. In a few cases, they proceeded somewhat towards the people, but then they stopped and ran off or walked off. So all these people told me if these things really wanted to hurt them, they could have done it so.
Oh, yeah. And you know, when you think about it, like maybe just disappeared, You know, maybe there. You know, I keep saying on the show, when I had Michio Kaku on here back about 8-9 months ago, he said we are so close to cracking another dimension where maybe parallel universes exist. Maybe there's things that we don't see existing with us. And maybe these creatures can go through another dimension or a portal or something. I don't know.
And that's more and more what I'm finding. You know, when I started this so many years ago, and mainly focused more on the UFO phenomena, I was convinced at that time, as so many others were, that we're probably dealing with some type of spacecraft from an extraterrestrial source. Well, as years and years have gone by now, my thoughts have changed from the data that I've come across. I've thought for quite a while that we're very likely dealing with more than one origin to the unknown category of the UFO phenomena. So maybe a small number could be extraterrestrial, but I'm seeing a lot of similarities now between a lot of the UFO phenomena, a lot of the cases I've investigated, and well, of others around the country and around the world that we've heard about. But, you know, there's similarities with some of the strange aspects of Bigfoot I've been finding, where in some cases these creatures appear to be physically solid, but in some cases these things just suddenly appear out of nowhere, people see them, and they're gone. Or sometimes the body is not completely solid. Sometimes it's misty or foggy. Sometimes you can see through certain parts of the body. It's not solid or, again, more out of focus. Sometimes people are reporting these things are not just running with a huge gait, a huge stride, but they appear to be gliding or floating above the ground, as well as other cryptid reports we hear. It's a very, very bizarre phenomena, and there's so much more to it than people realize. And, you know, one aspect of this whole phenomena that a lot of people don't know about, I call them mini UFOs. I started investigating them back in the 1960s. Now you're hearing more and more about it because people are talking about these small orbs of light. And one of the things that's been shown up more and more in recent years, and it was shown up here, I wrote about it back in the early 70s, was that sometimes people are reporting these very small orbs of light, and they're not always real small. They generally run from anywhere from about 1 to 2 inches in diameter up to about a foot or two in diameter. Some are a little bigger, but 1 to 2 foot is very common. Generally spherical objects, sometimes solid metallic. Most of the time they're just spherical, luminous object balls of light of various colors. But in more recent years, we're hearing more reports, not only in Pennsylvania, but around the country and around the world, where UFO or Bigfoot witnesses, Bigfoot investigators, are seeing these spheres, these small orbs of light, low to the ground, in the trees, low to the ground, sometimes approaching. And there is no doubt in my mind that there's an association between the Bigfoot and some of these small spheres of light. And the one case that brought that to my attention years ago, among others, was during that wave of 73, where north of Pittsburgh, two witnesses observed a white Bigfoot. You don't hear too much about them. We did have reported one last year in daylight at pretty close range of dirty white matted hair. But these two witnesses saw this at least seven foot tall, huge hairy Bigfoot running across a road towards the woods. But in one of its hands, it was carrying a small luminous ball of light. And a short time later, as this creature ran into the woods, an object came across the sky, projected a beam of light down in the woods where the creature ran into.
That is very interesting. I wonder, could these orbs actually be the Bigfoot themselves? Maybe they can go into an orb or something and turn into one.
And again, as reluctant as I am to say it, yes, we've heard those reports. And again, it's not just reports I've heard, but many other really well-known researchers out there and other people who are investigating these things that are more behind-the-scenes level, they're getting these reports as well. These balls of light have reportedly changed into other types of life forms, other type of creatures. And I've heard reports of creatures changing to other types of creatures. And it's not new. It's not just recently. This has been going on for a long, long time. And it's just amazing. But these small spheres of light, these small orbs, they're seen in daylight. And what's so amazing about them, the cases I've investigated, they come very close to people. And I've had incidents where they've entered moving vehicles. I've had them enter people's homes through open windows. And sometimes they'll go back out the window. Sometimes they'll go right through the wall of the house. We've had reports of them inside of people's homes. I just had a report again a few weeks ago where one during the night was shining a light in and was hovering about 20 feet outside of a window. I've had them actually come up to people's windows that are living rooms and actually knock against the windows and hover outside the windows. And so these are just really, really interesting, and there's a definite link between some of these small spheres and the Bigfoot phenomena as well.
It sounds like it. Could you imagine, though, you had one of those things come into your house while you're watching TV or eating dinner, or even out by your living room window or bedroom window, and you look, and the thing is, like, right there watching you. I would be terrified. You know that. I wouldn't even make it to the bathroom in time.
Again, you hear so many accounts from so many people. You know, until the pandemic hit, I was doing a lot of lectures and appearing a lot of conferences, and everywhere I went to, people would come up to me and share their experiences, and a lot of them wanted to talk privately, or they asked to talk to me later on privately, and 99% of those cases, those people never reported. Now, you know, I get reports in here all the time. My hotline's been open since 1969. It never stops ringing. And there's many other researchers and organizations out there and independent researchers. They're all getting reports for years. We have no idea how much of this phenomenon is going on. It is much more common than people realize. Every year I receive reports all year round on all type of weather conditions. And, again, in the last few years have been very busy. Last year was exceptionally busy. But what's been going on now since this past October into this new year is just highly unusual for the type of activity that's been being reported.
Yeah, and you know, I can see the point. A lot of people are scared to talk about it. You know, people, Stan, are talking now more than ever about sightings of UFOs because they know that people will take them fairly seriously. But yet, when you see orbs or you see a Bigfoot or Mothman or some cryptic out there, they're scared to talk about it because, you know, they're going to get ridiculed and they don't want to say anything about it. It took me about 18 years before I started talking about my encounter because, you know, being credible, being on radio, I didn't want to damage my reputation. But I'll be honest with you, I started hearing a lot of garbage, you know, people who claim that they encountered a Bigfoot, and their story just didn't match with what I saw. And but, you know, these orbs and stuff, you know, I was talking to somebody that said that out in the field in a farm there was a whole bunch of orbs, you know, at the tree line, and they would come and go, and it was weird.
Yeah, and again it's going on more and more. And I know of an incident. I'm waiting for more detail. It just happened last week. Again, up along a part of the ridge where there's been activity going on. And I went to wait to get more details. But anyhow, I know it involved several people involved. There were strange lights. There were howls. There were something heavy walking in the woods. But this stuff is going on. And just to give you an example of another case where there's a direct link between these small spheres of light and the Bigfoot. So this is May of 2019. This is a suburb of Pittsburgh, a large wooded area, and it was around 1 o'clock in the morning, and this fellow happened to get up and was looking out the kitchen window, and it's all illuminated out there. It's all lit up outside, and he sees this small Bigfoot. We get reports of smaller ones too, not that often, but occasionally. This is about 4.5 to 5 feet tall and was covered with dark hair, had long hair on the head and the back area, and it's walking upright. The arms are extended down below the knees, at least to the knees, and he could see the arm swing as this thing is moving along. So it goes and it enters a particular area of the woods. Seconds later, at the exact spot where the creature entered the woods, a bright sphere of light about 3 to 4 inches in.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I am, and it suddenly disappears. And he said it's similar to looking directly in the front of a flashlight, but it's about 4 feet off the ground. The light moves a short distance, then vanishes, and a few seconds later, the light appears again about 10 feet away. So now the small sphere is emitting a bright beam of light about 10 to 12 feet long, and suddenly the beam of light disappears and the orb's gone, and that's it.
That is interesting. And again, also besides Bigfoot, how about things like, well, Mothman and these other cryptids? Are you getting any reports of anything like that?
Actually, you know, I've dealt with what we call Thunderbird sightings for years. And surprisingly, last year, we had some very interesting Thunderbird reports around the area as well. And, if you go to my website, stangordon.info, a lot of the people can go on there and read about some of those cases. But I've been dealing with this other cryptid type thing. And again, under this category of Thunderbirds, there's similarities but differences. So some of the cases I've dealt with, and most commonly, we get reports of this huge flying creature. And again, what's really interesting is some of these are in daylight, some at very close range. So again, this is, though we're dealing with UFO phenomena, it's very difficult to judge altitude and size. So it's, but we have cases where these huge flying creatures are very low to the ground or actually on the ground. So we've had instances where they're on the ground on a road, they're blocking a vehicle, for example, they're eating a roadkill, and they have their wings completely out and extended. And there was one case I looked into several years ago in neighboring West Virginia. It was a two-lane road, as I recall, and a man's riding down the road. He has to hit his brakes really hard because here's this huge creature, at least four and a half feet tall. The head of it was taller than the top of his vehicle. It's hopping from one leg to another. It's eating roadkill, and it's flapping its wings, and it's trying to get off the ground. It's so big, it could barely get off the ground, and he can watch the wingtips, and he can see this dust and dirt coming up off the edge of the road as it's flapping its wings and finally gets up and over the trees and gone. He went back the next day and measured the width of the road. It was 21 feet across.
That's huge. Again, can you describe to the listeners what a Thunderbird, you know, what the reports, what they look like?
Yeah, I got off track there. Yeah, a lot of the reports I get would best described as like a huge overgrown turkey vulture. When we're talking estimates between 10 to over 15 feet or more, some over 20 feet in width, their estimates are. And they're generally dark brown or black. And, some really detailed reports of many of these people. Lots of times, they're not even flapping wings, they're just soaring across the sky. And then you've got this other category that's more like a huge, giant, generally black or very dark, featherless, leathery, like a huge bat. And that's very, very interesting. And then you've got people, and again, very credible people. I've written about these cases for years and some of my other books, and I've talked about these cases, and some of these people swear they saw something that was prehistoric, that what they saw looked like a pterodactyl or a pterotaurn, and very, very detailed accounts. And I just talked to a fellow who contacted me several weeks ago, very reluctant to even talk to me. He said, I've been living with this for 3 weeks. He said, I had to share this with somebody, and this was in daylight up in Indiana County. And he saw this huge, huge flying creature. He estimated, I believe, the wingspan would have been around 15 foot. He's been hunting all his life. He knows the birds of Pennsylvania. He said it was unlike anything he'd ever seen before, and he just couldn't deal with the fact that something like this could exist. And that's something that's been common to other reports as well. And then you also asked about Mothman sightings. Well, not Mothman typically as described, but we've had these winged humanoid cases. And some of those cases, again, are really interesting. The most interesting one was one that occurred, I believe it was March of 2011. And this was up in Butler County. And this would have been between the towns of Chicora and East Brady. And I've gotten to know this witness very well over the years. He's a professional person and very well educated. And that early that morning, he's driving down this back road, And as he's driving down the road, he catches something in a field off to the right side of the road, and he thought it was a deer. But as he gets closer, this thing rises up from the ground. Apparently it was hunched over. It rises up from the ground, and it's very tall and muscular looking, and it actually walked in front of a big yellow road sign. So he got a good idea how tall this thing was. It was at least 8 feet tall. And when I interviewed him, he said, you know, I hear people talk about, they claim they've seen Bigfoot. He said, this thing was not a Bigfoot. It was not covered with hair. He said, this thing was actually covered with like a smooth, leather-like skin, kind of a dark tan or light brown color. And he said it never looked at him. He only saw it from the side, but the head was kind of like flat in the front. It was kind of like an aerodynamic helmet, the shape. And he said the face was flat and the eyes were mostly not clearly defined, but he thought they were kind of pointed in the corner. And he saw one of the ears as well, also was kind of pointed back like a flap. The arms were muscular and a little longer than that of a human. The hands, they appeared to have claws on them. He said the one thing that stood out was its muscular legs. And he said that it was hard to explain, but the legs did not move like that of a human. They looked like they bent backwards. And he said what appeared to be wings on its back were tucked in its body with the wingtips extending toward the side of its head. He didn't notice any odd smell or sound at the time. It took several big steps across the road and was gone. But within days, there's a group up in Butler County called BORU, and Dan Hagman runs that group. He had several reports from other people in the same area reporting the same thing. And I remember one of the reports from, I believe it was called Reimersburg in that area, and there were witnesses were up in that area by an ice cream stand, and they said this thing crossed the road, I think about 35 feet away from the creature. It was at least 9 feet tall, they said, had dark brown skin, long arms, and broad shoulders. It had a pointed head, and apparently it was something very, very strange and unusual. And that's just one of those kind of reports. Allegedly, it was supposedly seen in the last couple years. Reportedly, it may have been seen again up in that area. And anyhow, you know, talking about Mothman, I have mentioned this a little bit in the past, but during that time period when this was going on, I remember hearing rumors that something similar was seen in the Pittsburgh area around the same time. But I couldn't find anybody to track down. But years later, I did track somebody down, and it appears as though there was, I now have information, which in fact, my new book just came out a couple of days ago, and the whole story about this one case is in there now. And apparently there may have been at least two separate Mothman-like experiences in the Pittsburgh area around 1966, around that time period.
That is interesting. You know, again, I don't know if you remember, I got an email, this is about over a year ago, from a trucker up in Oregon that stopped at a rest stop, you know, a truck stop. And he had his dinner. He had a new truck, so he kind of parked it off to the side because he didn't want any damage to it. And after he ate, you know, he was going to then fill up with diesel. So he goes and he gets into the cab of his truck. And he notices right in front of him, you know, like this Jeeper Creepers from that movie type of thing, like just kind of levitating off the ground, staring at him with the glowing eyes. And he said it just stared at him, and he started his rig. And he said he was terrified, and then the thing kind of levitated more, and then just flew off.
Yeah, and again, I've heard similar accounts, and it gets stranger and stranger. And, yeah, I hear these reports. I've had people tell me they see these winged creatures that just suddenly just shoot straight up into the sky and they're gone. And, you know, again, I'm dealing with all kind of cryptid cases here, things that a lot of people have never even heard about, and not only on land but even in the water. I mean, going back years and years ago, you know, I know you've been on radio for years and years, and back in the early 70s, I believe, it was when talk radio was really just getting off the ground, and Pittsburgh was a big talk radio town, and remember one of the main radio stations set up a whole studio just for talk radio, and they were inviting me to come on a lot of shows back in those days to talk about these subjects, and it was huge. And I remember it was one show was on every Saturday night for quite a while, and there was a huge listening audience, and people would call in and tell us about the experiences and things they've seen around the greater Pittsburgh area. And some people were talking about seeing this very large serpent-like, a reptilian-type creature in the rivers around Pittsburgh. And I've heard stories for years about some of these very strange things that people are seeing in the water as well. And another thing, you know, going back to the UFO phenomena, you know, you heard all these news reports in the last few years about the Navy sightings and the sightings of the unusual drone incidents going on. But also you've heard that report that they were focusing on several months ago of the video of the object that went into the ocean. Well, you know, here in Pennsylvania, I've been dealing with those cases for years where people were seeing UFOs going in and out of the rivers and lakes of Pennsylvania. It's not a new phenomena. And that's just one of the patterns that I noticed years ago. One of the most important patterns that I found years ago again, and this is still ongoing, is that there appears to be a direct energy connection. And here's what I found. Many close-range, low-level UFO sightings and many encounters with cryptids. So Bigfoot sightings, Thunderbirds, Black Panthers, other cryptids often occur in the vicinity of high-energy sources. So you have many incidents around high-tension power lines, power plants, radio communication towers, cell phone towers, windmill farms, railroad tracks, bodies of water, gas lines. It goes on and on and on. There is definitely an energy connection to a lot of phenomena that we are dealing with.
I know, and it goes through cycles, though. I don't know, at least what I hear, you know, like all of a sudden you get reports of like Mothman or Bigfoot, then it kind of quiets down, and then it's something else, and then it's UFOs. But I tell you, at least the UFO side of it, not to change the subject for a second, is not dying off like it normally does in winter. It seems to be like more people are seeing it, maybe because of the pandemic, that more people are at home, more people are noticing things around them more than ever. But I mean, it's getting scary. And I don't know if you noticed this, but you know, in all the years of doing this type of thing, I remember years ago, people would call up and say, I saw a UFO. It was about 25 feet, 50 feet in diameter. And they would describe the shape of it. It was like a round disc or a cigar. And now it's not 25 feet or 50 feet. People are saying they're seeing these things as big as a Walmart store. What is going on? Do you have any clues to what's happening?
Well, again, Gary, you know, I deal with these cases regularly, all the time, all year round. I'm dealing with cases, current reports and past reports.
Uh-oh. We got to go on break. I just realized we'll be right back, and we'll find out about this with Stan Gordon. And by the way, check out his new book. I believe it's available on Amazon. We will be right back, so stay tuned.
Does the Earth have a pulse? A new book by Dr. Michael Rampino entitled Cataclysms, A New Geology for the 21st Century, explores this question with new cutting-edge research. Rampino and other scientists have found evidence that the Earth actually pulses with cycles of movements of the Earth's plates, episodes of mountain building, changes in climate and sea levels, and even impacts of large comets. Periods of comet impacts and massive volcanism caused severe mass extinctions of life, including the disappearance of the dinosaurs 66 million years ago. These pulses of geologic activity and astronomical unrest seem to recur on a regular cycle of 27.5 million years. The recognition of these periodic cataclysms has the potential for revolutionizing the geological sciences, as Dr. Rampino describes in his new book, Cataclysms, A New Geology for the 21st Century. Available now on Amazon.
Love to fly on your wings. Love to fly.
Want to talk to Gary and his guest? South of the Rockies, call 1-253-203-6681. That's 1-253-203-6681. East of the Rockies, call 1-253-203-6777. That's 1-253-203-6777. Do you remember how great paranormal talk radio was in the 80s and 90s? Night Dreams Talk Radio brings back to you talk radio like you remember, with your host, Gary Anderson, broadcasting to you live from his secret compound deep in the great Northwest. Now, here's Gary.
And here I am with Stan Gorton. You know, Stan, again, you know, maybe we're being visited by multiple species of aliens, but boy, you know, again, the craft, if you go back in history, is sure getting bigger, and the shapes and all this stuff are changing a lot.
Again, we've had various types of configuration reported over the years, but in the last few years, and I should say maybe a little more before that, it's been, of course, we had the disc-shaped objects, a lot of triangular reports, including in recent weeks and months, and some of these are pretty large, and some have been very low to the ground. And really interestingly is that reports of these solid, big, rectangular objects have been something that people have been talking about as well. So those are fascinating as well. And another aspect of the phenomenon that's kind of interesting is that I've had a number of cases now, including even daylight, where you have objects, large objects, enter clouds, and people are standing there watching these things enter the clouds, and are standing there waiting with cameras to take pictures, and these objects, whatever they are, they never exit the clouds, which is kind of fascinating. And then we've had incidents even in recent months of cloud-like objects that are doing things that clouds don't do. There was one incident happened just several weeks ago on a main road, Route 119, in the afternoon, and this fellow was riding down the road, and suddenly, I think he said five or six cars in front of him began all brake at the same time, apparently seeing what he's seeing, and it's overcast. There's a lot of gray clouds, but this particular cloud, so it's about as big as a school bus in the sky. It was not that high in the sky. It's a lighter color, but it's sharply defined, and it's making these erratic movements in the sky, moving up and down, right and left, something unlike a cloud. And it was just beginning to fade away when he had to go under an overpass. When he came out, it was completely gone. But we're hearing more reports like that as well. But, yeah, these cases of these strange, odd clouds appear in the sky, or object going into clouds and then never coming out again. And there's just so many fascinating reports. And some of these are rather large objects as well. And one of my associate researchers, Jim Brown, up in Fayette County, back a few years ago, investigated a daylight sighting where the fellow reported seeing a large black ball come out of the northwest. It flew into a puffy white cloud, and it was the only cloud in the sky. About 5 minutes later, two more black balls appeared that came from different directions in the sky, flew into the same cloud. They never came out. His wife went into the house to get a camera, and while she was there, a fourth object came out of the west and entered the cloud. This one was larger than the other ones. It had four spikes sticking out of each side, and almost as soon as it entered the cloud turned a slightly yellow color that seemed to wash itself out of the sky, and it was gone, and they never saw the objects again.
Wow. Now, I got to ask you a question. How about people claiming that they've been abducted? Are you getting any of those type of reports?
Well, actually, I was probably one of the first in the country. Back in the 60s, and then my research group got involved, where we investigated quite a number of alleged abduction cases. And again, it was so many years ago. And, you know, the cases can be very, very involved. I mean, some of those cases, you could spend weeks, months, or years on one case, which we just didn't have the capability to do, but we kept in touch with some of those people, and some of the cases were fascinating. I mean, some of these were very credible people. Some of these people had very interesting jobs, but and some of them, there was some time missing in some cases. There was some physical marking of some people. So some of them were really interesting, and, of course, we couldn't say that they were abducted by extraterrestrials, but something happened to some of those people. And you know, some of those folks I've been in touch with for years and years still. There's one person, I just talked to this person a couple of days ago, and I have probably been in touch with her now for well over 40, 45 years. And her case is so interesting, and it's so similar to so many people I talk to. And it brings us up another aspect of this whole phenomenon, that one, you know, some people just are in the right place at the right time. They see a UFO. They have a Bigfoot right out in front of their car. It was a one-time experience only. But then there's this other group of people who, from the time they were very young, they began to have all type of paranormal experiences, from missing time to living in what they call a haunted house and seeing ghostly figures. Throughout their lives, they had all kind of paranormal experiences, and some encountered Bigfoot and cryptids and UFOs. But interestingly, some of these people, it's been generational, that their kids and now their grandkids are having experiences as well. And there's a definite pattern to some of this phenomena. And I've considered the possibility, do these people have certain abilities that they're able to see beyond what other so-called normal people can? Are they able to experience certain things that others can't? Or is this phenomena attracted to them for some reason? And, again, it's such a complex phenomena. I've said, again, I think we're dealing with something that's far beyond our present scientific understanding, and the phenomena is so strange it protects itself.
I think so. And, again, what do you think about these giant, I'm talking huge, you know, craft-shaped craft, or ones the size of a big department store? Could they be giants?
Well, again, you know, I don't get a lot of reports of those huge objects. I've heard some reports over the years. And, you know, people have sometimes called in, and a lot of people realize a lot of sighting reports that I've received in past years have been over populated areas. I mean, we've had incidents in major cities. We've had incidents in downtown Pittsburgh. I remember a case we investigated a number of years ago at a busy intersection early morning in a suburb of Pittsburgh where two witnesses observed this very large glowing elliptical object coming at an intersection. They made a police report on it. And these things are going on more and more over more populated areas. And some people will call me and say, it was so big, other people had to see it. And yet, in some cases, we did get reports. In other cases, we never did. So, again, it makes you wonder, what are we dealing with?
It's kind of scary, you know, and what is going on, you know. Now, changing the subject, what do you think about the disclosure that's supposed to be coming out? So many people thought it was going to be major, you know, earth-shaking ground disclosure. And, you know, it never really happened other than, you know, the government, the Navy and the Pentagon said, well, you know, there is something out there, but, you know, unidentified, but we don't know where it's coming from.
Well, you know, over the many, many years I've been doing this, I heard years ago back in the 70s that there was a lot of chatter that there was going to be some disclosure, and little bits and pieces of information began to come out that it seemed to suggest a possibility that maybe the public was being conditioned to begin to accept the possibility that something was out there, but nothing ever came of it. Personally, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think there's going to be any major disclosure. I think the door's going to open a little bit. We'll be getting a little more details. Personally, I felt this for years and years. The government knows a lot more about the UFO phenomena that they're telling the public, but they do not have the answer themselves. It's a worldwide phenomena. Whatever it is, they're not in control of the situation, and I don't think they understand it either. And I have a little doubt in my mind that they probably are aware that this phenomenon is much more complex And yeah, again, as we talked a little bit this evening, we didn't even begin to get into a lot of the things that have been showing up and a lot of the interesting patterns, because when I started looking into the UFO phenomena, what I've learned about the Bigfoot phenomena, the mini UFOs, the small orbs, some of the paranormal phenomena people reporting, the cryptid stuff, there's some similarity, there's some patterns to it, and I think that somehow it's very likely that a lot of these incidents, a lot of these anomalies are somehow all related to whatever the source is.
And that is the interesting part. I would really like to know what is going on, but you're right. I don't think we're ever going to get total disclosure. And what they give enough out there, I think they do it because it helps the debunkers to debunk it more, you know, to give out more disinformation. All I know that people seeing this stuff, it's been too many credible people seeing stuff like this. And if you think about it, it is something going on. That's simple as that. I mean, I think we are being visited by multiple races of humanoids coming and checking our planet out. And again, like you mentioned, Bigfoot and some of these cryptids could be, you know, tied into it. I don't know. Maybe when they come here, they create a vortex, a portal opening, and it allows these things to happen. I don't know.
Well, I don't think any of us really knows for sure. I don't think anybody has the answers. And once again, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I think there's more than one origin to the unknown category of the UFO phenomena. And, you know, if you look into the UFO reports, and this is something that's been brought up even with some of the, I believe, some of the Navy descriptions, these objects, whatever we're dealing with, they can appear physically solid, but then they can actually, at times, they can suddenly appear and disappear. They can physically change form. And that, I've had many cases where this has happened. So you've got that similarity with even some of the Bigfoot phenomena. They are suddenly here and they're gone. They appear and disappear, just like some of the Bigfoot cases and other cryptid cases. And it's very complex. Let me just read you off of my cases from this year I'm going through. Just let me give you an idea, for example, of one day what happened. So this is just a few weeks ago, January 15th. So a fella contacts me. This is probably 25, 30 miles northeast of Pittsburgh, and this is out in the country. It's after 3 o'clock in the morning. That's when we had this terrible freeze. Temperatures way below zero for days and days. This fellow was very concerned his water line that ran under his house was going to freeze up. He gets out there early morning hours, and he's crawling into this crawl space, and while he's partly under there, he hears this very strange humming, clicking sound behind him, but he couldn't see what it was. The next day, his neighbor contacts him and says about seeing this strange thing hovering over his farm during that same time period, right across the road. So I was able to interview that fellow, and he gave me the whole story. And he said, yeah, apparently about the time that he was inside checking on his water line under the house, he said he's awakened by his horses. There was something that was disturbing the horses on the farm. And he said the horses were running around like in a tizzy, and he stepped out on the porch towards to look where the horses were, and it was real dark down there. There was trees that kind of blocked the area. So he began to walk towards the barn. He gets about 150 feet from the barn when these lights appear right over top of the barn. The lights were shining down, and he could see the horses moving around, and that's when he saw this object hovering about 20 feet above the barn. He said it looked kind of like a teardrop-shaped object, about 65 to 70 feet long, had a smooth silver or metallic look, looked similar to stainless or galvanized steel. And there were numerous lights across the surface of the object that looked rounded. There was about 8 rows of 20 to 30 lights, and they would change from red to blue and then back to red. And he said the object hovered there for about 5 minutes, and he didn't have his phone with him to take a picture.
Oh, wow.
And as he watched the lights, they suddenly went out. Everything went dark, and the object just disappeared. He said it did not move away. It just vanished. And about seconds later, the horses all seemed to be back to their normal behavior after it vanished.
Wow.
So that's on the 15th. So that's around after 3 o'clock in the morning. And then another report comes in at around 7 o'clock in the morning from the Pennsylvania-West Virginia border that one of my research associates, Jim Brown, is investigating, who's a very high-tech guy. and this is still being looked into, but the person walks outside, do some chore early in the morning, sees this object. There was a black area with a glow coming from it. Apparently it wasn't that high off the ground. There was no sound to it. The person runs into her home to get a camera, and when she touches her door handle, she gets this minor electric static charge. She goes back outside. When she touches the door, she gets another static charge. When she goes back out, the object is gone. And then at 9 or 10 in the morning from another county, I get another report in daylight of another Black Panther sighting.
Oh, wow.
Where the people see this huge Black Panther out in the country. It's low to the ground, crouched low. Said the body was 3 feet long, covered in jet black hair. The tail was fat, had a curl at the end, a bit shorter than the body. They could see its ears, and it took off. They did get two pictures of it, but it was far away, and you can definitely see something on the picture, just not clear enough to really be sure. But very credible report. So that's just in one day. And
Stan?
This is what goes on, and the public doesn't hear about it, but these things are happening.
Now, Stan, I think we have a caller. Are you there, caller?
I am, Gary.
Okay, what question do you have?
My question is, having experienced the UFO phenomenon, and several people in the band have also done the same thing. In fact, all of them have. I am of the opinion, because of what happened to me, that there may be a predisposition, depending on who you are, to be able to experience that. And what I mean by that is, this was a warm August night, probably 15 years ago. I'm out walking with my dog. It's probably 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm going through the back part of my property. There's a huge clearing there. And I saw this, what looked like a fluorescent green platter with a layer cake on top of it. It's streaked. I'm just going to guess that it was probably maybe 200 feet up. And it streaked over, and it stopped. And I was watching this thing, and it stopped for just a few seconds, and then it made like a Z pattern and went out of sight. But I am of the opinion, I got an impression that that thing stopped because it wanted me to see it. And I'm just depending on I think your predisposition and your mental ability, I think that has a lot to do with what people experience those things and are able to get some type of a mental impression from that phenomenon. And I wanted your guest's take on that.
Yeah, Stan, what do you think about that?
Yeah, and I've heard many, many similar accounts. I've talked to many people over the years. Again, some of these people have had a history of experiences, some people have not. But some people have told me over the years that they had this strange urge that they had to go outside, sometimes early morning hours for no reason, and that's when they saw this object. And there's others that claim they've had some type of mental impression as well, or sometimes a communication that they had never had before. So these are all things that I've heard, and the description of what he talked about, even some recent reports in recent weeks similar to that as well. And again, it's so complex, and we didn't even get into, again, a lot of the strange things I've dealt with the Bigfoot phenomena. And one of the areas that you rarely hear about, I think it's more common out in the western part of the country, it's not very common here of the hundreds of Bigfoot cases that I've worked on, but I've had some people, some witnesses who reluctantly told me that they believed when they saw the Bigfoot that it mentally tried to communicate with them. And I can tell you one case that I was a witness to, not of the Bigfoot, but I remember a case back in the 1980s where people were living, there was a large wooded area and claimed this Bigfoot was coming down closer to their homes. And I was out there with a team that night, and there were several people there, and the one person in that group said that this thing was trying to communicate at times. While we were there, this person said, this Bigfoot is communicating that tomorrow morning, so the next morning, about 15 miles away, over to a small town in another county, there would be a UFO incident. And early the next morning, over that particular town, this strange, unusual sound, like something very low right over the town, was being reported by numerous people, and actually the police and the fire departments were out on the search, and it made the newspaper.
Oh, wow. Very interesting. And how many reports do you get in a week? Do you get a lot?
It varies. I mean, I could get many reports in a week or go for a few weeks or not. But if you could see just the reports already this year, the sheets I have, of the synopsis of the incidents, it's hard to believe. And there are just so many from last year. And again, all last year, and for the last several years, it's been very, very steady. Last year was, again, very, very busy. This surge of activity since October into this year, and the reports I've heard even the last couple weeks, there's something really interesting happening. A lot of these are really detailed reports. And so something interesting is going on, and hopefully maybe someday we'll get some answers.
I would like to have answers after all these years, doing reports on it, interviewing people and stuff like that. The book you just come out with, I mean, how long did it take you, Stan, to, create that book?
Well, I have a busy family schedule every day and a lot of other things going on. So, and there was a lot of setbacks with the fire situation. Things slowed down, couldn't get things done. But it took me quite a while to do this. But this is the fourth in my casebook series. And all the books available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. But the new book, it just came out 2 days ago, actually, is called Creepy Cryptids and Strange UFO Encounters of Pennsylvania. And there are some very, very strange cases in here. And I'll tell you one case in particular, it is very, very creepy.
Oh, wow. Can you tell us this a little touch of it? I don't want you to give the plot away.
Well, yeah, if I give you the plot, then it'll be a long story, and it's so strange and unusual. But in the book, we're talking about not only Bigfoot sightings and the orbs of light, UFO sightings. We get into some very strange creatures seen in the waters. We have this incredible Mothman report of this incident where this fellow was best friends with the person involved in the incident. He was there. This fella came to his home right after it happened, and he goes into great detail about what he experienced that evening. There's Black Panther reports, and some of these cases get into strongly indicating that some of what we're dealing with do not appear to be flesh and blood creatures. And they, again, there appears to be a physical and a non-physical component to some of these cases. And it's just amazing. And these things are going on, again, it's not just Pennsylvania. It's going on all around the country and around the world. And in more recent years, you're hearing other investigators, you're seeing more books coming out talking about these cases. So a lot of these things that I dealt with back in the 70s, they're now becoming much more apparent, and more people are starting to realize that we're dealing with something that none of us understand.
Ah, we are. Now, the name of the new book, Stan?
It's called Creepy Cryptids and Strange UFO Encounters of Pennsylvania.
Now, do you have a website here before I let you go to share to the listeners?
Sure. The website is stangordon.info, I-N-F-O, stangordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, .info.
Well, everybody check out his website, and actually, we're going to be promoting your book, I believe, on our show here, starting, I think, next Monday or so. Hey, Stan, like always, I really enjoy having you on. I mean, you are just, with the information, so rich. It just makes it, I'm not going to have a hard time sleeping tonight. You know that.
Well, I've all the years I've done this, and since I was a kid, I rarely ever think about or dream about these things. I guess it's because I deal with these things so often. It's a part of my life, and I'm so used to hearing these stories, but there are some fascinating things going on out there, some very, very strange things, and I would like to live long enough to have some answers, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, unless we can find a way to go back in time and become younger, I don't know. Well, Stan, I want you to have a great weekend, will you? And stay safe.
And you too. And thanks again for having me back on the program.
Okay, my friend. You take care.
All right. Good night.
Night. Well, who do we have for Thomas as a guest on Saturday here?
We have Tony Rathman. He's going to be talking about ghost hunting and his different encounters and some of the evidence he's come across.
Okay. And you have a great guest on Sunday there, don't you? Or Bob does, I should say.
Yeah, Bob's got Anthony Hamilton coming on, and they're going to be talking about mental time travel. So that's going to be a very interesting show as well.
Yeah, he's interesting. You know, I interviewed him a couple times back a few years ago. When he was a young child, he was up on a tree, and he fell and hit his head and was unconscious. And then he kind of went forward in time, and he saw himself going to college and all these different things, going to the Orient, Japan, all the stuff he saw in his dream when he was unconscious. And it tells you that you can maybe, at least emotionally, mentally, time travel. And next week, we got a lot of great guests. Check out our website at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com. If you want to email me, you can actually do it through our website. There's a little envelope there. You can just fast blast me a question, or you can contact me if you'd like to be a guest on the show at nightdreamstalkradio@gmail.com. I tell you, we've had some great guests this week. You know, Major Ed Dames. I'm still, you know, recovering from him being on there because of, you know, remote viewing and stuff like that. And I tell you, we are growing with a listenership. We had over 13 million downloads when Ed Dames was on the show. That broke our record for listeners. Well, I will be back on Monday. Now, on Mondays, I'm only going to be on for an hour, but the rest of the week, Tuesday to Friday, I'll be on the full hour and a half. Again, everybody stay safe. Maybe, I'm not trying to panic people, but maybe you should go buy some toilet paper, buy some canned foods and stuff, because, again, I sent my son to the store with my daughter to go buy some groceries today, and I said, stock up on some chili and baked beans and some other type of stuff. And they came back with like one or two cans. And I said, that's it? But Dad, they don't have it. So that's telling me people are starting to go into a panic situation. And hopefully it doesn't go crazy. Well, till tomorrow, make sure you tune in to Thomas Wortman. He'll be on at 7 p.m. So make sure you tune in. He will not be on YouTube. That'll be down the future, but you can catch them on all the apps. Go to our website at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com. We got a player. When he goes on live, that'll be live also. Well, till tomorrow, everybody have a great one. We'll catch you on the other side of the campground.